And would you pray with me this morning? Great God, we come before you proclaiming that you are indeed great. You are worthy of our praise. You are creator of all that is. You are sustainer. That you are God Most High. And yet we approach such a great God through Jesus Christ this morning. We thank you, God, for your grace that you have lavished upon us in your Son. We thank the calling, thank you for the calling that we have received to be your people in this place. God, we come before you now thanking you for the grace and the peace that we have received, and we ask for extra measures in our experience today and in the days to come. And God, we ask for wisdom that we might walk in light of Christ. We come before you on behalf of those in our community who are hurting. We pray for those who are sick. We pray for those who grieve. We ask that you would come alongside them and that you would bless them. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, our passage of Scripture comes today from Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to invite you to turn there. It's going to be towards the end of your Bible, kind of towards the end of the New Testament. And this is a letter from the Apostle Paul to a congregation in a place called Philippi. Now, as you turn there, let me go ahead and say that this may seem like kind of a strange place to draw from for a sermon. Because Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 is really just the housekeeping part of this letter to the Philippians. It's kind of like when you write an email and you say, "Dear so-and-so, this is a note from me, and I hope that this email finds you well." Anybody ever written an email like that before? So you're going to name who the recipient is, you're going to name who you are, and then you're going to give them a pleasantry that says, "Hey, I hope things are well," and then you're going to get into the meat of the correspondence after that. Well, that's just what's going on in Philippians today. In this opening section, Paul is going to identify himself as the author. He's going to identify the Philippians as the recipients, and then he's going to greet them. So let's read that together. Philippians 1, beginning in verse 1. "Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." So who's it from? Paul and Timothy. Who's it to? God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi. "I hope that this email finds you well. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." It's a Christian, a very rich way of offering a greeting. So it's just the housekeeping part, and yet I think there's something here for us today. Because you see, there's something profound in the way that Paul addresses this congregation. He doesn't just write to the church at Philippi. He doesn't just write to the people of faith at Philippi. Instead, Paul writes to God's holy people at Philippi. All right, God's holy people in Christ Jesus. Now, this is a later translation, the New NIV. Does anybody else have another translation of God's holy people today? Here's where we see if anybody actually opened up to the passage. All right. Well, oh, we have one. Excellent. You also might find this word used there, all right? To all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi. As Paul writes to this congregation in this city called Philippi, he names them as saints. which is kind of strange because that's not the way that we use the word saints. Go ahead and give me that next slide, Todd. When we think about saints, we think about people like these. Here we have a picture of Mother Teresa, and we have a picture of Billy Graham. Two very different people from very different traditions, and yet this is what they have in common. They were extraordinary followers of Jesus. Mother Teresa was known the world over for her work with the poor and with the sick and with the destitute. Billy Graham was known the world over for his personal piety and for his evangelistic efforts, which called so many people to Jesus. In her own tradition, the Catholic tradition, Mother Teresa has actually been named a saint. We Protestants, we Baptists don't do that, but if anybody was going to be a saint for us, it would be Billy Graham, right? Because when you talk about a saint, you're talking about someone who is extraordinary. These are the people who really get it, who God uses in mighty ways, who are holy. They're the people that you sit up and you pay attention to because they are extraordinary. Yet when Paul addresses this group of people in Philippi, he's not saying to the really extraordinary people among you. He's not saying to the really good Christians among you. Instead, Paul is writing to everyone in the church. Let's go to that next slide. Because for Paul, saints isn't just for a select few. Saints is for all Christians. So notice this. That means that Mother Teresa and Billy Graham are in that category of saints, but it means also that so is everyone who is a believer in Christ in this room today. You are a saint in Christ Jesus. All right, so let's back up and just go ahead and say, who thinks it's a little bit weird to be put in the same category as Billy Graham? That sound a little bit strange to you? Yeah, because saints really do seem like that they should be extraordinary people, and we don't feel that extraordinary. So why can Paul apply this word, saints, to all Christians? I think that has to do with the way he uses it. Let's go to that next slide. You see, for Paul, I would argue that sainthood is both a status and a calling. Now, a status is something that is bestowed on us. It is something that happens to us. A calling is something that draws us into a particular kind of life. And for Paul, sainthood is both of these things. If your life has been united to the risen life of Jesus Christ this morning, you have been claimed by God for God's purposes. That's what it means to be a holy one of God. And that's what these newer translations are getting at. They know that we have all this baggage when we say saint. We think about extraordinary people, but really it's talking to the people who have been claimed by God for God's purposes. If you are a believer in Jesus this morning, you have received the status of saint. But it's not just that. You see, God calls us holy. God sets us apart for God's purposes, but that also then invites us into a way of life. You've been called holy, so be holy. It's a status, and it's a calling. Does that kind of track with you guys this morning? All right, let's see a few other places that this status and calling idea overlaps just in more regular life. Let's go to the next slide. Let's go ahead and let's start with parenthood. I am the father of two children. Here's the thing. There was a time in my life when I was not a father. What made me a father was the fact that my wife birthed a baby girl. They put that child in my arms, and I received a new status, a new identity. It was something that happened to me because this baby girl was my own. So I became a father. It was a status that was bestowed upon me, and yet at the same time, that's not where fatherhood stops. That's where fatherhood starts. I have this new status. I have this new identity. Now it is my privilege to walk into good fatherhood. It's also a calling. Let's go to the next slide. Maybe we could also talk about drama. So my daughter, the one who made me a father, who was put into my arms, is now a teenager. She is really interested in theater. And so I've learned some things about the theater. You have to say it like that, first of all, the theater. That's kind of how it goes. Beyond that, I've also learned that when they sound like they're being mean, they're actually being helpful. So when they say, go break a leg, that's because they're hoping that you get in the cast. You get it? Ah, at least that's what my daughter told me. I may be making myself a fool of myself this morning, but that's what I hear, okay? But notice this, all right? Once you get into the cast, a status has been bestowed upon you. You are now in the cast. You are now a part of this production. And yet that is not where the story ends. In many ways, it's where the story begins. You are in the cast, but now it's time to learn your lines. Now it's time to begin to rehearse. And ultimately, this means that you're going to put on a play. It's a status bestowed, but it's also a calling that is lived into. All right, let's go to the next slide. Maybe we could also talk about doctors. All right, so these folks, they put in all kinds of hard work to receive the title doctor, but eventually they get a white coat and they are called doctor, right? But that's not the end of their journey, although they've done a lot of work before it. It's actually the beginning of their journey. Because now that they have received the status of doctor, it's time to begin the work of healing. It's time to lean into what a good doctor is. It's both a status that is conferred. It is a calling that is lived into. That is the way that Paul is using this word saint this morning. It's a status that you have received, not because of what you've done. This is where we've got to be careful, okay? Like, when you get into the cast, it's because you're the right person for the part. You're a better actor than other people, right? When you get to become that doctor, you've put in all that work to get to that place where that status can be bestowed. But for us, it's not like that. Instead, we are bestowed the status of saint, not because of what we have done, but because of what God has done for us. You see, God finds us in the mess of our lives. God finds us in our sin. And instead of crossing God's arms and looking down God's nose, instead God sends his only son that we might be saved. Not because of what we have done, but because of God's great love for us. And so God has saved us in Christ. And if that has happened, God has claimed you for God's purposes, which means that you have received the status of saint. It is an identity that has been given. And yet it's also a calling to be lived into. You've been called holy, so be holy. So if we were just to say, well, how would we just say, like, what does it mean to be a saint? Okay, it's a status and a calling, but that's kind of a mouthful, Mike. Like, what is it? Like, let's bring this to the ground. Let's go to the next slide. Really, I think that what Paul means is this. Saints are Jesus' people. Number one, and we can go to the next slide for that. Number one, it means that we have been united to Christ, or united to Jesus. Number two, we are followers of Jesus. We've been claimed by Jesus, and we follow in the way of Jesus. We're Jesus' people. We receive our identity from him. We follow in his way and become who we were created to be. To be a saint just means to be a Jesus person. Today, you are a Jesus person if you've placed your faith in Christ. Today, you are a saint. You have been claimed and you have been called. Now, saying that, I think we should go ahead and say that that doesn't always mean that things are easy. Like, okay, well, I know that I'm a Jesus person now. And sometimes that's crystal clear. I know exactly what that means. Other times, things can kind of get complicated. Like, what does it mean to be a Jesus person in this context, in this situation? And in fact, quite a bit of the New Testament is written to people who are trying to figure out what that means. What does it mean to follow Jesus in the nitty-gritty of everyday life? What is that? And that's actually what's going on in the book of Philippians. Paul calls them saints, reminds them of their status and of their calling, and then he gets into all these chapters where he starts to explain, and this is how you can live into your sainthood. And along the way, you get to chapter 3, and he says something interesting. He begins to describe his own walk with Jesus, and he basically says, my posture is always reaching forward to what Jesus has for me next. I never rest upon my laurels. Now, if anybody could rest on their laurels, it would have been Paul. This is a guy who had stellar theology. This is a guy who followed Jesus with every breath. And yet even Paul is saying, God is not done with me yet. Instead, I'm like a runner in a race, and I am always straining toward the goal that God has for me in Christ. He says, this is what it means to be mature, to always be reaching forward. And then he says this in chapter 3, beginning in verse 15. He says, all of us then who are mature should have such a view of things, which is interesting. If you're mature, you realize that you're not done, okay? Another way to translate this from the Greek is to say, all those who are perfect will have such a view of things. You are perfect when you realize that you are not perfect in the faith. You always have a next step to take. So if anybody around you thinks they're perfect, Philippians 3, right there for you, all right? It's there. So Paul says, if you're mature, you know that you have a next step to take. And he goes on from there. And if some of you, if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. So notice this. We are on the road together. We're all following Christ. That doesn't necessarily mean that we all agree. And Paul isn't really worried about that. He's not saying, you need to agree with me right now. He's not really leaning on his authority. Instead, he says, listen, if you'll just run the race with me, God will bring you to the place where you need to be. Just keep taking your next step. That is your job. Some of us are farther down the track than others. Some of us have just started. Some of us are turned around a little bit confused. Paul says, listen, your job is to put your eyes on the goal and just take your next step. If we can all just do that, we will be moving forward in a good way. And then he says this, only let us live up to what we have already attained. So he basically says, God has brought you to a place in your faith journey. Live up to where God has brought you. And also take the next step and the step after that. So what does it mean to be a saint? What does it mean to be Jesus' people? Maybe we could put it like this. Number one, be true to where God has brought you. Number two, be open to where God will take you. Live up to what you've already attained and follow Jesus. One step after another. Now, I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know where God has brought you in your faith journey. I don't know what the next step are. What I do know is this. You are a saint in Christ. You have been claimed by God. You have been called by God. So live up to where God has brought you and be open to where God will take you. Those are the postures of sainthood. So what should you be true to today? And what should you be open to as the Spirit leads you forward?